Monica Welch started her charity Fink, which is families in need, Kerikeri, over 10 years ago to help struggling whānau with food, clothing, shelter and work. She says whānau have always struggled, struggling more than ever now, to the point where she had one child who hadn't eaten all day, so he was just used to being hungry. Monica Welch is with us from Kerikeri. Thanks for joining us, Monica. Ko Dale, tēnei.
Morena, Dale.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you today.
Yeah, you too, Monica. I was just reading a piece that you too have lived in hardship. It's not like you grew up with a silver spoon, and so recognised a decade ago that you might be able to help by pulling some strings and strands together to help with whānau in Kerikeri. We've heard reports of some people sleeping in cars, filtering down through our media avenues as well, Monica. When you started your charity, it was mostly solo mums that needed help, but what are you seeing in your community on the ground now, Monica?
Well, it's working couples or one working person within the family, people that have never needed my assistance at all. It's people that have, working and needing extra because it's not working for them anymore. Especially with the price of high rents, it's just over the top. And Kerikeri rental prices are in alignment with Auckland prices. It's really expensive here in Kerikeri, and I sort of support right from Kaio, Kaikui, Muriwa, Kawakawa, Paia, and we've got a lot of people sleeping in cars now, and we also seem to have more homeless appearing at our local park, sleeping in the local high school.
Are these people from Kerikeri, just moved to Kerikeri, or are from families who have always called Kerikeri home?
The homeless have moved from other areas. The rest of them are in the location, yep, and have been here all along.
Is there some addiction issues that you're noticing as well, Monica?
Yes, especially with the homeless. And also, I had a single dad that I was speaking to yesterday. I gave him some kai, and he has a meth addiction. He fessed up to that, and we had a good chat. And I've since talked to a social worker that I know, and I'm going to try and get him some help. He's pleading for help. And so there is. He told me that there's many people in our community on meth, and the hardest part with meth is being away from those that you do it with, your associates, your friends, your family. And so he's moving to another area of Kerikeri to try and get away from it.
We have to be non-judgmental. I mean, helping people's helping people, irrespective of the reasons behind their difficulties. Many of these people, Monica, will be whānau Māori as well. Some might say, well, look, they've got a papakāinga, they've got connections to marae, why don't they utilise them? But if you're not thinking straight, sometimes that's not reality. Or maybe you've burned bridges in the past.
Oh, yes, and I can see there's a certain amount of shame with it, of course, for them. I have another woman that she's now sleeping in a tent with her children, and she's always struggling, but I always give her a hug and say, you know, you can do it, you can do it. She's tried a few times, even been to rehab. The guy that I was talking to is not Māori, and none of his friends are as well. So it's pervasive everywhere, and it's a scourge upon our nation, this drug. It's destroying families. Kids aren't eating. It's the last thing at the end of the day is food. So I have always said all along this way that, you know, our kids don't have a choice or a voice in their circumstances. They don't choose their parents' drug addictions, but they're a part of it, the big part of it. So I just keep helping with that situation, no problem. And also massive encouragement for parents to go and get some help, even if it's repeatedly going, get some help. And I'm firm on that, and I'm really going to be doing a song and dance about the canning of the children's school lunch programs. So otherwise we're all going to fall down a big hole if our kids can't eat at school.
Well, you're in a platform where you're most welcome to do just that. You're painting a picture here of, well, to be honest, one of kindness, really. I like the way you're non-judgmental and accept that people are struggling, that drug addiction is real, that kids don't choose it. So one of the safe places for Tamariki is school, and this is the place where they do need to, you know, where many benefit so much from getting a decent feed. What would you say of the focus on school lunches? Seems a bit churlish, doesn't it, in this climate?
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. And David Seymour needs good smack bottom, really, doing this, because he actually went to a Decile 1 school for at Whangarei Intermediate for, you know, the 2 years, and then he was off to Auckland Grammar, which, of course, is not Decile 1, you know. And he boarded there, but he went to Decile 1. And I looked up just the other day, Whangarei, and they have a lunch program, but they buy in the lunches, which is, you know, it's outsourced. So it's not made on premises. So it's Subway and Pita Pit, which is classified as takeaways. And a lot of them are doing this with Subway. I don't get that part. Definitely it works way better if food is cooked on site at the school with a proper kitchen and people being paid or volunteering to get the kai out for the kids. And I know many teachers, and they're all just really worried about his decision to can half of it. And yep, there's flaws in the program, but we've got to keep it there and rectify the flaws. The flaws being soggy food. Put tomatoes in giant Subway sandwiches and it doesn't just become soggy, it becomes wet. So I've seen those. But if it's made on site, the kids love it. And my friend, I spoke to her last night, she's a teacher at a Decile 2 school, and she said, we have way more attendance since we started our school program.
Tēnā koe, Monica. I want to take my hat off to you. On the one hand, we've got CEOs with huge pay rises. I'll be talking that issue through in a few moments. But your charity gets no funding. So, you know, I salute what you're doing, just the generosity of community-minded people.
It was an effort to show the community that we can help each other. And so, you know, for instance, yesterday, it's like the loaves and the fishes in the Bible, that, you know, they were all out. I'm often out of everything. The next day, suddenly, we fill up again. So, like, yesterday, I got given big bags of lentils, chickpeas, and another legume. And also, meat arrived, giant, big, fat sausages, home curl, mints, and corned beef. Also, someone said, oh, I've got a local reporter said, hey, Mon, my garden's got heaps of lettuces. Do you want them? Yep, I'll take anything, everything. And I make soups every week. I've done that for the last 3 years since lockdown. During the lockdown period, I made, with the help of two catering services that were locked down, said, hey, we'll help out. And we did 1,200 meals. We got out to whānau in the area because whānau's homes were bulging with extra people having to come and live with them because of lockdowns.
Mm-hmm. Well, we take our hats off to the mucky that you've been doing, Monica. Thanks very much for letting us in on the reality of life for many struggling in what's seen as a fairly affluent community in Kerikeri. That's not the reality for many. Monica Welsh joining us from Te Tai Tokoro. Thank you, Monica, for sharing some kōrero with us.
Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi. Thank you, Monica. And to 603 Urban Māori Radio.